This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
It is, the irony is not lost on me that over the many, many, many years of doing this show, and when the judges end up in these political races, which they are all loath to do, that there is a reversal of personality types that happens where I become the judge for 20 minutes and they become the very nervous person sitting in the courtroom.
Never fails?
No. What a nice guy. I mean, I enjoyed that. But it's like you think of them in the robe. I mean, they're human beings, but that robe elevates them. And because it's like a hospital.
Right.
I mean, no one's there because they want to be there. That's the way a court of law works, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you probably don't want to be there.
Yeah, and
if you find yourself there as a juror or as a person who's standing trial, I mean, no one really wants to be there. And when that guy comes in the robe, everybody shuts up. Everybody, you know, it's a very different scenario. And then almost to a person over the years, they come in here and they're nervous. And it's just a weird reversal of things.
Yeah, that's interesting. Real quick question on that. So they're primary and then a general for them as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's law. I mean, I don't think most people do the red-blue thing with judges.
Right.
I don't think most people do the red-blue thing with the sheriff. I mean, I think people just want to vote for the best person, but it's required. You know, if you want to take this next step, you got to declare a party, you got to be on the ballot, and you got to get votes. But they're not politicians.
Right. How many people on both sides for this position does your chart say?
My chart.
I saw your chart. It looks pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah. You know what? It doesn't. I know of two Republicans that are in. I mean, there is a primary. I'll look into the general.
I'm just curious.
I'm like everybody else. I'm just trying to keep up.
You're my go-to.
I need a scorecard. I there's so many new. You know. But anyway, enjoyed meeting with Rodney, Judge Forbes. And we'll also have Judge Mendenhall, who's running in with us as well. So I know of those two. And anybody else out there, contact us.
Sure.
I've told you before, I'm not chasing you down. Too many of you. But it's refreshing to talk to somebody running for office that isn't doing the bullet point thing, right?
Right.
The talking points.
Yeah.
And so it's really tough for them. I feel bad. Paul, I know you visited with Judge Forbes. I mean, they can't, they by law are required not to talk about politics.
Yeah. And I think that's the reason it's such a low profile race.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things you cannot talk about. And particularly when you're already, a judge, you can't really comment on cases kind of thing.
I don't want activist judges on any side of the political spectrum. Just hear the case and do what you think is best.
Well, it was nice. I know in the time that we talked, just sit down at the table and just talk about general things and why he's running, why he wants to take a step up, but. You're right. It's a different setting. It's when you're sitting there and you're talking, and you kind of forget that he's a judge now,
right?
You know, and I think he's not used to that scenario, and that's no reflection of bad on him.
No.
He's a judge.
I think that these races actually make them maybe better judges because they get that role reversal thing where I mean Dennis Miller had the whole Supreme joke about just ask Diana Ross whenever you go to work. With anything starts with Supreme, goes to your head. It's probably good for them to be on the other side of that.
Well, most of the judges.
Perspective wise.
Yeah, most of the judges I've known and know right now.
Good people.
And certainly, the people that we've had and have in the building and other buildings I've been in that went on to be judges, see them on the street, they're walking to get their lunch or something like that, and so like anyone else. And I think. Sometimes we need to recognize that these are people. These are people.
Is there anything preventing them from running a stats-based campaign? Like, hey, I did so much, whereas my opponent, he didn't do.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think you're going to see. It's a decorum thing, right?
I mean, you
don't want to be known.
Stopping it.
Nick, I don't know. You're off in the weeds in an area that I have no knowledge of whatsoever. There's that thing called Google. I don't know what they're allowed to do or what they're. What I know is that they can't talk about They can't give you an opinion about how they would decide on a case if they haven't had that case. I mean, they can't just give you those broad strokes of like, I'm going to do everything I can to make abortion legal or illegal. I mean, that, and I don't think you want judges like that. I mean, what these guys do at his level right now is exactly what he, you got families in distress. You got, you know, people getting their car repossessed, somebody suing something. I mean, these are, you know, it's not politics. It's just day in, day out life. And I think that's what most of them do. Now, once he's the circuit court judge, you know, he will supervise other judges if he's to win. But anyway, it's just an interesting dynamic. I've yet to meet a single one of them that enjoys this process.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And
which speaks volumes about them, by the way, as people, because who does enjoy this process?
I think, too, you know, the advertising that that judges do, and they're probably pretty uncomfortable even in advertising, that it lists their qualifications.
Yeah, I've been this, I've done this. People,
which is kind of refreshing.
It is. Here's why you should hire me for the job.
Yeah, instead of like...
I mean, can you imagine going into a job interview, right? And I know the market's a little squirrely today, you know, with people jumping all over and the great whatever. But can you imagine like just walking in and telling your future employer not why they should hire you, but here's why you shouldn't hire the other six people sitting in the lobby?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we have in politics today.
It's their job interview.
Yeah. And I think when you look at that, no wonder people are confused. I mean, you know, you have a lot of lies being spread around as the truth.
It's all lies. I've yet to see anything truthful on a direct mail piece I've received.
Yeah. And well, the only truthful thing is in very, very small print at the bottom is who paid for it.
Yeah.
So I guess that's truthful.
All right. Let's get to some speaking of courts. What a great honor for Justice Lisa Holder White, who I just think the world of.
Oh, yeah.
She is a great lady. She's one of my fellow Diamond Honoree Club with the Girl Scouts. And she is now going to be on the Illinois Supreme Court.
Well, it's certainly you know a great day for Decatur too, and the fact that she is from our community and from our city, and you're right, you know, apart from her qualifications and certainly her move upward in the system, she's just a super nice person. She's the type of person that probably no matter what she did in life, she would be good at it. Because she's a good person inside.
I completely agree. I don't know anybody that doesn't agree with it.
Yeah,
that's met her or been around her.
I'm sure
there's probably people in the courtroom somewhere that haven't been happy, but she's fantastic.
Yeah, when I received the news of that, you know, I thought, yeah, that is so right. You know, that is so good. And I know the contact that I've had with her, you know, over recent years has always been extremely positive. She's one of those people. You talk with them for a while, you know, whether it's outside on the street or whatever, you talk and you feel better as a result of knowing that she's here and knowing what she does.
Yeah.
You know, she's just a good person.
She is. And it's interesting because in our Newhoff family, you know, Rita Garman, who stepped down and retired, is, you know, from Vermilion County, and our friends over in Danville are very familiar. So it was like we had a Newhoff replacement. So Vermilion County retired, Macon County steps up, and now Justice Lisa Holder White. Very happy for her.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the whole community should kind of be beaming today, you know.
Absolutely should be.
And that's a big honor for the community, not only for her, but for the community.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about the Illinois Supreme Court.
Yeah. And who knows what her top end potential is. I think she's fantastic. All right. I cannot tell you, once again, over the years, how many times we have talked about a person, be it celebrity, someone you've never met, someone you know, and 2 days later they die. And you always go, did I do that? You know, there's this weird thing. I mean, it's happened so many times. We had no real reason to be talking about Congressman Tim Johnson other than it came up somehow, and we were reflecting on some of the encounters we had because he was an interesting human being, and then he passed away.
Yeah, and I think the reason we even commented on I'd forgotten about him for the last several years was that he had endorsed Regan Deering.
Yeah, yeah.
And so his name came up, and I think you asked me at the time, you know, like, is he still relevant? Does that still make impact today? We kind of talked about some of the experiences. And I think last week we touched on some of the experiences we had, you know, with him. But then you hear that someone has passed away that you've just talked about, and it's like, oh, Wow.
Isn't that weird? Because we hadn't talked about him for a long time, thought about him. You know, hasn't been, you know, in the, I mean, I know he was still active in, you know, the Champaign area, but, you know, here anyway, it'd been a many years since he's been, a local congressman.
Yeah. And I think that probably it wouldn't have startled me quite so much if we hadn't just talked about it, because I hadn't talked about him for several years since he left office.
You know what? When I heard the news, I was sadder than I would have guessed I would have been. Does that make any sense? Like, I mean, as strange a dude as he was, and I'm not trying to speak ill of the dead at all. I don't mean this in any pejorative, mean way. He was just an odd duck. But in a way, that odd was really likable. I mean, it set him apart and made him different from all these sort of interchangeable candidates. I mean, he was his own guy.
Yeah, and I think when you look at Tim Johnson's demeanor and the way he conducted his campaign, apparently people like that because they kept reelecting him. He never
lost an election. Yeah,
and I think sometimes when we think of people, I think of other congressmen that have come and gone. There's not really a defining part of that person.
Just telling you, when I heard the news, I had kind of like an empty, like, wow, man, that made me really sad.
Well, it's because I think of the different kind of memories you have of Tim Johnson. It set him apart.
Right. And he couldn't, I want to make this very clear, he couldn't have been any nicer to me in life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just, we were in Washington, D.C., you know, for a fly-in, you know, and he'd be the first guy to invite you to dinner, you know. I mean, he was just that kind of guy. He didn't have the personality that politicians have today. There wasn't anything in him that was like, rah, red meat kind of, you know. I mean, he just had that weird sort of engaging thing. He literally was known for just going through the phone book and calling constituents.
Well, I think the word engaging is really important here, that apparently his constituents felt that way about him, that, he would talk to him any place, anytime, on the phone sometimes.
On the phone all day. He'd just walk around Capitol Hill and make phone calls.
He did it his way.
Yeah.
He didn't do it somebody else's
way. And it was a very
way.
Different way than most of them. So,
yeah, and I haven't seen anybody else do it that way since.
Rest in peace to Congressman Tim Johnson. All right. Hey, let's. There's a major piece in today's Tribune. By the way, you can go to DecaturTribune.com. And if you have relatives, or even for yourself, you just want to get a once-a-week kind of historical look back at the community and look forward at the community, it's one of the great places to do this. But particularly if you got, you know, everybody's flown the coop to Arizona or Florida or wherever, and you want to get a once a week reminder. There's a big section about Lakeview High School, which opened in 1949 and closed in 1982. And this is for Greg Spain and all the other Spartan alumni. I was there for 2 years. And so I am in an endless attack cycle of I'm not Lakeview enough.
Well, you were the reason it closed.
Yeah,
I
started to feel that way. Three schools in like 4 years, because I went to Woodrow Wilson and then they closed that, and then on and on. So I was at Lakeview my freshman and sophomore year. They closed the school in 1982, and then I went to Eisenhower where I graduated. And so it's like this baseball debate, like which hat do you wear in the Hall of Fame? I mean, Eisenhower's where I graduated from.
Yeah.
Now, I have fond memories of Lakeview. I don't have anything bad to say about it, but I don't have... I mean, I didn't graduate from Lakeview. I graduated from Eisenhower. Does that seem like a stretch or seem weird to you at all?
No.
Okay. Yeah. But I was reading, looking back through this, right? Uh-huh. And the history of it and looking at some of the fantastic pictures. Where do you get all of these photos?
A lot of them are just people, they see an earlier story about something that they touched on Lakeview and they say, hey, I have a bunch of photos in my attic or I've gone through some old boxes. You want them? I don't want to throw them away. And I have photos coming out of my ears, you know, from years ago, and most of those have come from people that attended Lakeview, in this case here, or certainly had some relationship with some other historic place around town or some other school. So that's where a lot of those come, and now, you know, so many of them are digital because I've converted them instead of, hoping that they don't get destroyed somewhere.
I'm looking at a picture, Nick. 12 years before I was born, just to give it some perspective, 1954, and it's a Lakeview football player with an opponent, and there are no face masks on the helmets.
Oh, my goodness.
Very polite players back
then. I mean, sometimes you look at stuff and go, yeah, that was so long ago. I'm like, no, this is in my realm, sort of. Close to.
I had a high school mate that was a good football player. He thought he was tough, and he went to the U of I, and the first day, and this has been years and years ago, football tryouts, and said everyone across the line from him didn't have any teeth. And so that was his last day. First and last day. And it's just like back then, you didn't have the protective measures. Kids would lose teeth and everything else.
Oh, my goodness.
In high school.
We have evolved for sure. But even looking at the opening day in 1949, that high school, the front of that high school still looks the same to me as it did in 1981.
Yeah, and that was a unique building. It really was, and it just kind of far away.
They had two gyms, and one of the gyms, it was the first time I can recall seeing one of those rubber floors, you know, that you could kind of sort of push, you know, that material. They were way ahead in a lot of areas. They had driver's ed before anybody had even thought about having driver's ed.
Yeah, and then you had some Wayne Dunning was a star basketball player for Lakeview, went on to play for Millick and was a star there, still in our community, you know, still doing good stuff in our community. But you look around at
just on the stage with Wayne Friday night at Richland's graduation.
Yeah, that's right. Board member.
Yeah, like 20 plus years.
Yeah, and so he's a Lakeview grad and a star basketball player, really great. And you look around at some of the vice presidents, presidents of banks and community leaders. They graduated from Lakeview High School. Most of them are retired now, but pictures of those young people in there, in the scrapbook this week in the Tribune, a lot of those are people that I know or have known that were community leaders.
All right, 40 years ago. There you go, a little trip down memory lane for all of you Lakeview fans. Now the James Randall Research Facility. And owned and operated by ADM, which is, I still drive by that campus and have memories of, they had a notorious smoking section.
For who?
Kids.
It's like behind a wall.
No, it was the whole back parking lot. I mean, if you want to match up a high school memory with a movie like Dazed and Confused, that's about as close as I can get to.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Just memories. Times are different. There you have it. One quick break. We'll be back to wrap things up with Paul Osborne, the City Hall Insider. Here's Nick Smith with your three-day forecast.
Today, we've got some areas of dense fog for another hour and a half or so. It's going to be sunny today, high of about 86. And tonight, chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy with a low around 69. For Friday, mostly sunny, high of 88, 60% chance of evening showers with possible thunderstorms. And then Saturday, that chance of rain continues, maybe some thunderstorms, high near 84. The current temperature in downtown Decatur, 61 degrees, your WSOY time, 724.
Hello, my name is Cody Moore, and I'm running for sheriff of Macon County. I was born and raised in Central Illinois and have made this my home. I started my work career on the farm and moved on to serve my community as a police officer with the city of Decatur, retiring after 26 years as the deputy chief of police. I believe collaboration, communication, and common sense go a long way in solving problems. I want to bring stability to the sheriff's office through my relationship with the citizens of Macon County as well as its leaders. Please vote for me on June 28th, as this primary election will be critical in the selection of your next sheriff.
Paid for by the committee to elect Cody Moore sheriff.
Steve McClure for State Senate. Hardworking, conservative, fighting for us.
A fiscal conservative, McClure understands how taxes hurt working families.
That's why McClure fought the graduated income tax hike and is working to cut reckless spending at the state capitol.
As a prosecutor, Steve McClure has seen firsthand how crime hurts communities.
McClure led the fight against Chicago Democrats who are pushing to weaken criminal justice laws, laws which protect families.
McClure stopped dangerous liberals trying to defund the police because Steve McClure supports law enforcement.
A conservative Republican, McClure is a strong proponent of Second Amendment rights.
We can count on Steve McClure to stick up for families and stand up for our values.
Steve McClure, the best choice in the Republican primary.
McClure for State Senate, the conservative Republican we need.
Paid for by friends of Steve McClure.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here, our remaining minutes with Paul Osborne, the City Hall Insider. All right, it's interesting, you write in the Tribune today about Jesse Rising and a potential Trump endorsement. You know, there's a couple of kinds of races that we have here. where a Trump endorsement could mean being elected, and a Trump endorsement could be anything but getting elected. And I bring it, you just mentioned Mary Miller off the air. A Trump endorsement for her, meaning Trump shows up in Charleston, Illinois, or Quincy, I think has even been talked about with Darren Bailey. All she has to do is win the primary, and she's got the general election. Mm-hmm. But that's not most Republicans. If Jesse Risen gets a Trump endorsement, while he does well for himself in that race for the 13th Congressional District primary, he's then got to go into Champaign and all these other areas, and it's a negative. I mean, it would maybe help him win the primary. It will hurt him in the general election.
Well, yeah, I think what we're saying, and we thought, how much impact is Trump going to have on these primaries? Well, so far, he's having some impact.
But it's individual. I mean, if you look race by race, it's not all of them. He couldn't save Madison Cawthorn.
This
Pennsylvania thing's a mess, and who knows how that's going to end up. So, I mean, I think we do this in a broad way when there's anything but broad. In the 15th district, that district was drawn to give Rodney Dave a safe haven because he's bipartisan and not cray-cray. And then so she jumps into that race. If she gets more of his endorsement, meaning I don't have to fly to Mar-a-Lago and pay for my own fundraiser to act like I'm with him, and he shows up here, she could be the next congresswoman of the 15th district because she doesn't have any competition in the November. But Regan Deering or Jesse Rising, they've got to come out of this primary and take on a very well-established Democrat who's got all the bona fides and money and endorsements. That's just one part of this.
Yeah, well, it's not going to work for everybody. And it's not going to, if it works for a while, it's not going to work in the long run.
It's not going to work. The general, it's the same thing with Darren Bailey. I mean, if he gets Trump's endorsement, it might take him over just Richard Irvin's insane campaign he's doing. But it will give him zero opportunity to win the state of Illinois.
Yeah, I think in my view, the Trump endorsement has helped some candidates.
It has.
There's some candidates that they were beyond help. Yep. I mean, I think one that lost were in Utah or whatever. He had several charges from women against him. These are things you can't overcome.
Look at the numbers. Among Republican voters, the Trump is very important, 62%. But if you look at independents, it's a negative. And so for you to win a statewide race, like the governor's mansion, right, you can't win Republican votes.
No. And that's where you're going to run into trouble. The fact is, how much can you gather in your victory using Trump if he's in your pocket? You said term. How much can you win beyond that? Have you demonstrated you can win in the bigger? And what you're saying is there's no demonstration.
Not a statewide in Illinois. I don't see it. I really don't. And it's not going to help you with the collar counties. It's not going to help you with the female vote, with everything that's going on. I just think that everybody has their eyes on this primary. But you got to run in a lot of these cases, with the exception of Mary Miller and Ronnie Davis. You got to run a general election.
Yeah, well, and I think AP and some of them are admitting that Trump is having more influence than some people at this point, but it's for the Republican Party.
Primaries, yeah. Then you got to turn around, and it's a whole different ballgame in November.
So can it spill over in the general election? It's doubtful
now. All right, Paul, we appreciate it. Thank you for being in with us today, as always. Great story, Lakeview High School. I got one name for you. If you go back to that smoking section in Lakeview at a certain point in your life, Ward Davis. That's all I got to say.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.